It was a fun season, but it's over. It's a wrap. Vikings one and done for the 2024-25 season. And joining us now to kind of put a bow on everything, that will be none other than Matthew Collar from Purple Insider joining us here, courtesy of the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So let's just jump right into it, Matthew. I appreciate your time tonight. Everybody's wondering and everybody has an opinion about Sam Darnold and should he be back? Should we move on? All of that stuff. And we'll see how things kind of shake out with free agency across the board. But your thoughts on Sam Darnold, how the season ended for him, and what the Vikings plan should be going into 2025-26?
Well, I heard our friend Tom Pelissero talking about this, and the way that he phrased it is it's complicated. Now, I don't think a lot of people think it's complicated, but I think it's complicated because you have a quarterback that, of course, as badly as it ended, everyone wants to put Sam Darnold on a ship and send him out to sea and say, I never want to see you ever, ever again. And that's pretty easy to forget 15 games where he got them, or 16 games where he got them to competing for the number one seed and a 14-win season. And a lot of that was really because Sam Darnold played excellent football this year. He was a playmaker. He was clutch. He had the third most passing yards in franchise history, the sixth highest quarterback rating, the second highest, you know, game-winning drives. I mean, you know, I don't think that as you analyze that, you could just throw all of that in the garbage because of two games. And two games where you got out-schemed, and you certainly got worked on the offensive line. You know, I think that, there's a lot that goes into playing as badly as Sam Darnold did that is not just him struggling the way that he did. So, you know, I think that all of that will go into the evaluation from the team. I think that the favorite thing to happen here is still probably that J.J. McCarthy is the quarterback, but I also know that, you know, there was a time where Kevin O'Connell wanted to play it safe and wanted to bring back Kirk Cousins at a certain price and then slowly develop a first-round quarterback, and J.J. McCarthy got plenty of work behind the scenes learning about football this year, but he got no work dropping back and throwing passes.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to prepare his body to play 17 games. I mean, you saw what Sam Darnold went through, right? I mean, he just took a whooping throughout the season. And if you're going to play quarterback for Kevin O'Connell, by the way, you better just prepare to get your ass kicked because Kirk Cousins got sacked 46 times. Darnold got sacked 49. I think that maybe there needs to be a little look in the mirror when it comes to all those sacks, because mm-hmm. I saw Matt Stafford. Stafford was getting rid of the ball, and his offensive line rated worse than the Vikings this year by PFF. So, you know, I think that all of those things need to be weighed in, how difficult it is for a young quarterback to come into the league with expectations of winning 14 games and staying competitive within the division and all that. With also the cost of Sam Darnold, it would be a little bit prohibitive on the salary cap. So I think that there are a lot of moving parts to this.
Do you think that the way that things went south for, and I'm just trying to put it all on Sam Darnold there at the end of the season, there were other things that went wrong, other you know, parts of the team that just didn't, it didn't go well. But do you think that the way that those last couple of games went in the early exit, do you think that that at least accelerates in people's minds what the development needs to be for J.J. McCarthy, maybe as opposed to, let's say that it plays out in a different way in which Sam Darnold plays well at the end, they get the number one seed, they win a playoff game, and then you're kind of sitting there like, okay, yeah, we have a little bit more leeway and more time with maybe trying to develop J.J.?
That's the crazy world we live in, and I remember after the Green Bay game, thinking that, wow, like, how could they ever move on from Sam Darnold after 14 wins and he just beat Green Bay twice in the same season on two great games against Green Bay on the big stage and Tom Brady's interviewing him and everything else. You're like, okay, well, there's no chance that this guy's not back next year. How could they let him walk? Look how well he's played. They're talking about him being in the MVP conversation and all that stuff. And then 2 weeks later, it's, I never want to hear the name Sam Darnold ever again. From a lot of people, it's, that's football. I mean, that's, we always have to overreact to everything because we just don't have big sample sizes to work with. It's not baseball where we're going to get 700 at-bats or something like that. So I think that the way that it played out did significantly hurt the chances of Sam Darnold coming back, and it did potentially accelerate when they would turn to J.J. McCarthy. And that's what it really comes down to now, to me, is when we have the full picture of Sam Darnold, I think you could tell kind of what his strengths and weaknesses are, what they would need in order to really, really, truly compete in the playoffs with Sam Darnold, which is a lot better along the offensive line. Maybe some coaching adjustments here or there that did not happen against the Rams. And, you know, the other thing, too, it's really crazy about football, is just not playing the Rams again. There was only two teams that beat the Vikings all year, and it was the same two teams. And I remember thinking the worst matchup here for them to face is the Rams. But all that thrown into the pot, I do think that it could have pushed forward the need for J.J. McCarthy to step in and play faster, because if they don't want Darnold back, period, or they want now a much lower price to bring him back than they would have before, that's going to change some things, because I think around the league you have teams like the Las Vegas Raiders who haven't won a playoff game since 2002, and their quarterback was Aiden O'Connell. I mean, like, there are teams that are going to want Sam Darnold, and that's another layer too, because if they franchise tag him, they could tag and trade him, which is an option for quarterback needy teams. And then what the return is on the trade also has to be part of the discussion, because the Vikings don't have a lot of draft picks. So I think it's complicated. I think a lot of other people don't, but I think there's a lot of moving parts there.
Matthew, in covering this team this year and being around Sam Darnold, what sense at the end do you think you have for him with regards to whether he would like to be back and continue to be a part of this organization?
I mean, if you're Sam Darnold, you fully understand what playing for a horrendous organization can do. If I'm Sam Darnold, I'm looking at Baker Mayfield and saying, I'd do the same thing. And Baker Mayfield signed a 3-year, $100 million contract last year with Tampa Bay that carried a $6.9 million cap hit or something like that for this year. It was very cheap for this year, and it'll go up next year. But the Vikings could do that if they want Darnold back and then push the McCarthy development down the road. And if I'm Darnold, I'm absolutely taking less money to be here than a lot of money to go to the Raiders or the Giants or one of these absolute joke shows of an organization, because he saw what happened before. But I guess that also might be a counter argument for the people who want McCarthy to start next year. Is like, look, if you can elevate Sam Darnold, then you can certainly give J.J. McCarthy the best chance to win in the NFL. And I totally agree with that. I guess my thing is they don't even have practices to work with since training camp, which is just a very small sample of things to look at in terms of how do they know if J.J. McCarthy is ready. And if you're Kevin O'Connell, you might want to try to find that out in the next training camp. And this is how crazy it could get if the simplest route isn't taken. They could go into training camp and have a competition, even with Darnold on the franchise tag or on a 3-year contract. And if Darnold loses the competition, they could trade him, because there's always going to be teams that need quarterbacks. I mean, somebody gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed at 35 coming off an Achilles with one career playoff win. I mean, if you think that just these two bad games destroyed any interest in Sam Darnold, I just look around at the status of quarterback play in the NFL. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. We're talking to Matthew Kyler, PurpleInsider.com here, joining us here on the Lake Show News Talk, 830-WCCO. One of the things that I was a little bit frustrated with on Monday night was just the way the defense came out. I mean, the defense was struggling those first couple of possessions against Matthew Stafford, and I get it. It's Matthew Stafford. He's a Hall of Famer. He's won a Super Bowl and all that good stuff, whatever. But, man, he was carving us up early. I know that they kind of settled in and was trying to allow the offense to get back into the game, and then you had the sack, and then he fumbles the football, and then all of a sudden you're down a couple of touchdowns. But what did you make of Brian Flores' defense on Monday?
You know, I think that the theme here for this game, and especially when I watched it back on the coach's tape, which just looks a lot different than it does on television or even in the building, because you could just go back and look at a play 10 times and really see what happened, as opposed to, you know, I'm in the press box in Arizona watching one thing, or you're on TV, it's focused on the quarterback. You just see all the moving parts, and that really applied to Sam Darnold, which was a lot of the sacks had nothing to do with the quarterback, and every quarterback in the league is getting sacked. And on the defensive side, Matthew Stafford was getting rid of the ball before the pass rush could get there, and Sam Darnold did not have the options to do so, and Matthew Stafford did. And I thought that that was the game. The Vikings won up front. They just didn't get there because the ball came out because there were receivers available. I thought in this game, this was the teacher versus the student, the OG, even though they're both young, the OG versus the inexperienced coach in the playoffs, the guy with the ring versus the guy without the ring. Sean McVay and Chris Shula, their defensive coordinator, just owned the Vikings. They came right out and they said, well, I mean, think about this. How embarrassing is this? Brian Flores during the week is like, wow, we know that Puka Nacua is playing this time, not like last time. The first pass, of course, right? McVay, right in the middle of the field, Puka Nacua wide open. You're like, yeah, you're not going to stop him. So I thought coaching was a major, major factor. And the fact that they blitzed and blitzed, and all the Rams did was just threw to open receivers time and time again, it just spoke to the lack of adjustment and change that they had made from the first time they lost. It looked just like the first loss, only there was a strip sack that was mixed in there. And I think that they got to learn a lot as a coaching staff from this if they're going to win in the future in the playoffs.
All right, we got some notable free agents. I'm going to mention a name. You let me know what you think about them returning possibly for the Minnesota Vikings. Safety Harrison Smith.
I think Harrison Smith will very likely retire as one of the best players to ever play the position in NFL history, but it's a lot.
Agreed.
It's a lot to ask to come back, and it's also a lot to repeat another great season like this. But I don't know. I mean, he didn't say for sure, but he was pretty emotional after the game.
Yeah, he's spectacular. I think that in his career, he's been very underrated for everything that he's done. I definitely think he's a Hall of Famer. We agree on that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think what he needed, and it's not his fault,
yeah,
he needed a few more playoff wins. He needed some more promotion. Maybe he'll start a podcast after. That's a joke if you know Harrison Smith. He's not going to do that. But, I don't think he's back.
All right. Cam Bynum.
I have heard from sources, how about this, Henry, that there is going to be a lot of interest around the league in Cam Bynum. So that was one where I could see him signing a big contract with someone else. He may want to stay with his brothers and the guys that he likes, but he's going to have offers, very serious offers. Right now, I would go that he leaves.
Cam Bynum, I love Cam Bynum. I just love everything about Cam Bynum. Like, he just comes across as just a really good dude. On top of a good football player, he just seems like somebody that gets it with regards to life.
I think so, too, and he is, you know, he may be good-natured, but this guy went to Cal. He's very sharp. He's very football intelligent. He's a great vibes guy, and he's a playmaker, too. So I think there will be a lot of teams that want that on their team.
Daniel Jones.
That I have no idea, because Daniel Jones might be able to find another team that would put him in a quarterback competition as opposed to just being J.J. McCarthy's backup.
I think so.
I would say that he probably goes somewhere else and tries to win a starting job.
But I wonder what the Vikings are thinking about him, though, in terms of, like, truly evaluate. Because I think that Daniel Jones, there is something there. I don't think he's as bad. But like, we've seen him beat us in a playoff game. So, like, the guy's got some talent. You're right. I think there probably are some teams out there that have no good options at quarterback that would likely give this guy a shot. But is there a world where he comes back and Sam Darnold goes somewhere else, and he's here with J.J. battling it out?
Absolutely. Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, because if you're Kevin O'Connell, I mean, you've gotten a head start. I mean, why do you think they did this, right?
Exactly.
Because of that,
exactly.
Because of that possibility, you've gotten a head start on recruiting him to stay there, and you've gotten a head start on getting him ready for your offense. And, you know, that is a very reasonable option that they could have Daniel Jones just be compete during training camp and be the backup quarterback for McCarthy, assuming that he wins the job, or if they really feel McCarthy's not ready, you start week one with Daniel Jones. That is uninspiring to me, but it does make a lot of sense.
All right, the last one I'll throw at you, and I'll just go ahead and give my take on this real quickly before I let you expound on your thoughts. I like him as a football player. He comes across as a really good dude, but I can't do it anymore with Aaron Jones just because on key possessions he's nicked up or you don't know what's going to happen. I think we're at the crossroads here where we need to go another direction with another running back. Who that person is, I'm not sure. Your thoughts on Aaron Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they got the 99th percentile outcome out of Aaron Jones, considering his age and all that. And, you know, I mean, no running back likes to hear it, but this is the age where running backs are usually out of the league at this point. I thought that at the early part of the season, he was phenomenal, but as he got banged up, it became harder. There were a lot fewer big runs. We actually saw the bigger runs come from Cam Akers down the stretch. They need a better answer there. I think if you were bringing him back as a part of a duo, okay, but they didn't use him as a duo, even at the end when he was banged up. What I really think too, and I get where you're coming from, and I don't disagree with it, but I also think that Kevin O'Connell, you got to figure it out, man. You got to figure out how to run the football. I mean, this is 3 years. They had Delvin Cook. They had Aaron Jones. They just have not. And you could point to the offensive line. That's probably fair. But, I mean, it's 4th and 2, and they got guys running 15 yards down the field, like, trying to throw deep. And it's just, like, what are we doing here? I mean, you just have to have a running game, especially if you're going to have a young quarterback. Are you going to have J.J. McCarthy throw 700 passes because you can't run the ball again? I mean, it just seems like that should be one of those, like, go on a trip in the mountains and grow a long beard and come back with some truth about how to run the freaking ball, because, I mean, they've not been able to do it at all. And I don't think that's entirely like Aaron Jones or Delvin Cook in 2022. I think the coach has to really commit to it. So I would be fine with moving on, but I think that there's a systemic issue that is more than just who's in the backfield.
He's got articles, he's got videos, he's got podcasts. Check him out, purpleinsider.com. It's Matthew Collar from the Purple Insider. Hey, Matthew, let's catch up again before the postseason's over.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate you.
All right, take care. That's Matthew Collar joining us here on the Lake Show.